War is a grisly business. It's been estimated that about 231 million people lost their lives during the 20th century in wars. In my opinion, war is going to be our undoing. We haven't listened to what Dwight Eisenhower told us as he was going out of office in the early 1960s in his famous farewell address, when he says he was troubled by the erection of the military-industrial complex, which would make a lot of money off of war and would threaten our democracy. Well, that's happening, folks. In the words of Pulitzer Prize-winning author and journalist and former war correspondent Chris Hedges, "War is like a poison, and just as a cancer patient must at times ingest a poison to fight off a disease, so there are times in a society when we must ingest the poison of war to survive. But what we must understand is that just as the disease can kill us, so can the poison. If we don't understand what war is, how it perverts us, how it corrupts us, how it dehumanizes us, how it ultimately invites us to our own self-annihilation, then we can become the victim of war itself." War is also entertainment. Since the invention of film, there have been a lot of war movies. It's difficult for film to portray war as it really is, because war is something that when you experience it, as I've talked to many veterans, and I myself served in the Army, know that war is a terrible business. However, I've chosen 12 films that I think you should see. They really illustrate what war is all about, its self-defeating purpose, and it's something you should study, because I don't think today there's a more important subject than how we view war and how we're going to solve the business of killing other people. The Third Man was made in 1949. It's Carol Reed's film, which deals primarily with the after effects of the ravages of war. It's a great film by anyone's standards. It's set in post-war Europe. It's a bleak film. It sets forth the proposition that the corruption inherent in humanity means that the ranks of war are never closed. Paths of Glory, made in 1957. I think this is one of Stanley Kubrick's finest films. It's a great anti-war masterpiece. It's set in the year of 1916. There's been 2 years of trench warfare, and the enemies have arrived at a stalemate. While nothing of importance is occurring in the war, thousands of lives are being lost. And what we have here is the masters of war pull the puppet strings, and the blood continues to flow. The Manchurian Candidate, made in 1962, John Frankenheimer, the director, focuses on the psychological effects of war and its transmutation into mind control and political assassination. All the lines of intrigue converge to form a prophetic vision of what occurred the year after the film's release with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, made in 1964, is one of the great films of all time. It's a Stanley Kubrick film, and it burst onto the cinematic landscape and cast a cynical eye on the entire business of war. It's a strange and surreal film. It's packed full of amazing and great performances. MASH, made in 1970, this is one of Robert Altman's best and most influential films, as can be seen in the popular spin-off television series of the same name. Everyone knows the story of this group of misfit American doctors during the Korean War. The Deer Hunter, made in 1978, it's an Academy Award-winning film, and it's one of the most emotion-evoking films ever made. It's a story of a group of Pennsylvania steelworkers who endure excruciating ordeals in Vietnam. And this film makes one point clear: war is the horror of all horrors. Apocalypse Now, made in 1979. I consider this Francis Ford Coppola's best film. Based on Joseph Conrad's novella, The Heart of Darkness, Captain Willard, played by Martin Sheen, treks to the Cambodian jungle to assassinate renegade maniac Colonel Kurtz, played by Marlon Brando. This anti-war epic is a great visual experience with fine performances. Platoon, made in 1986. This is not Oliver Stone's best film, but it's one hell of a war movie. Set before and during the Tet Offensive in January 1968, this is a gritty view of Vietnam by one who served there and knew what was happening. Vietnam was a wet place for bugs, leeches, and snakes, but not for people. Full Metal Jacket, 1987. Stanley Kubrick's take on Vietnam is one of the most powerful and psychological dramas ever made. Focusing on the schizophrenic nature of the human psyche, the duality of man, Kubrick takes us through a hell-like Paris Island boot camp into the bowels of surreal Vietnam through the eyes of Joker, played by Matthew Modine. Jacob's Ladder. Adrian Lin's thriller hits the psyche like a thunderbolt. A man struggles with what he saw while in Vietnam. Back home, he gradually becomes unable to separate reality from the surreal, psychotic world that intermittently intervenes into his existence. This bizarre film touches on the sordid nature of war and the corruption of those who manipulate and experiment on us while we fight on their behalf. Saving Private Ryan, the invasion sequence, made in 1998. The long opening sequence of this film is unlike anything in any other Hollywood depiction of war. It's 25 minutes of barely comprehensible chaos and mutilation. Many veterans have stated that it's the most accurate recreation of an amphibious assault. Jarhead, made in 2005. This film follows a Marine recruit through Marine boot camp to service in Operation Desert Storm, winding up at the Highway of Death. But what director Sam Mendes serves up is war as a phallic obsession in the oil-drenched sands of Kuwait and Iraq. Here soldiers fight not for causes, but to survive in the nihilistic pursuit of destruction. As these films illustrate, war is hell. With each passing moment, though, I think we're passing the point of no return. There have been some great people throughout history who have told us that war will finally do us in. It will destroy us as a country. One was Martin Luther King. In his famous speech of April 4th, 1967 at the Riverside Church in New York, this is what Martin Luther King had to say. King declared that the only solution is an all-embracing and unconditional love for all mankind. He maintained that we can no longer afford to worship the God of hate or bow down before the altar of retaliation. The oceans of history are made turbulent by the ever-rising tides of hate. And history is cluttered with the wreckage of nations and individuals that pursued this self-defeating path of hate. Ladies and gentlemen, I think Martin Luther King was right. I think it's time to listen, or it will be too late.